This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Let's talk tech with Mark Aflalo of Double Tap TV. Of course, you can find that program Tuesdays at 8 p.m. on AMI TV. Hey, good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm well. So in a few hours, Apple is going to be having their Unleashed event. Mark, what are the expectations headed into this event?
Oh, a couple nice coffee mugs. And no, there is. We are expecting the finally rumored next generation M processor from Apple, which is supposed to power their new MacBook Pros, their new MacBook Airs, and maybe even some of their high-end iPads. But this is the big one. This is the big one that everybody's been talking about since last year's unveil of their own silicone, their own processor, which completely exceeded any expectation out there. And we're expecting to see the predecessor, the following up, you know, what is going to follow these processors? What are we going to see, especially on the Pro lineup of computers? Because we have not seen these chips really pushed to their limit and really developed for that Pro lineup of people who are, you know, rendering animations and producing high-end videos. People want to know what they can expect, what the commitment's going to be from Apple, and today is the day we hope to find that out.
What would you say the anticipation level is in regards to that from some of, like, the hardcore Apple users?
Oh, the hardcore Apple users have been wondering why it's taken so long, even though they know it's a yearly cycle and it takes its time. But people on the edge of their seats, they're wondering, okay, you've released these processors last year. People have been pushing them to their limits, and they've far exceeded any expectations. Even Apple themselves have admitted that these chips have exceeded any expectations, to the point that people over at Intel and AMD are saying, well, I hope Apple comes back one day and gives us some of their business. But the fact of the matter is that Apple broke the code. They figured out how to do these processors, how to do them properly, and they've graduated from just powering mobile devices to powering full-fledged computers and doing all the stuff we've become, you know, accustomed to with a computer. And not only that, but they've also picked up the adoption from all the software manufacturers out there as well. The Microsofts of the world, the Adobes of the world. Those are always the ones that are hard to follow, you know, because when you come up with a new processor, that's great. When it's not right out of the box compatible with all the existing software that's out there, you have to count on those partners to say, okay, we're gonna commit resources and time and energy to make sure our software works on it. And they did, and they proved that not only does it work, but it works even better than Intel, even better than AMD, and obviously incredibly well so on Mac hardware.
So before the break, we played a tech trends report that suggested it's going to be a busy week in the world of technology with a Google Pixel reveal, a Samsung event. Is an October event abnormal for Apple?
And you know what? This is something new to the past, I would say, 2 years or so. Typically, that September event where we saw the unveiling of the Apple Watch and the iPhone, that would have been the last one before the holiday season, giving them some time to ramp up production. Now, because there are so many new products and so many new chips and things that are being developed, they really have to split it up because they're splitting up the attention span. You know, the iPhone and the iPads really hit a consumer level of audience. You know, they need to make sure that it gets into the carrier hands, and that takes a lot of time. You know, I remember talking to a friend of mine over at Rogers that said, okay, well, Apple just unveiled the new operating system and new phones. We just found out this morning, like everybody else did, and then they scrambled to make sure that everything is ready for it a week later, you know? Whereas when it comes to the computers, there's no one really out there scrambling for anything other than Apple themselves. So when they come to the table in October, this is most likely going to be the last event of the year leading up to the holiday season. So we're expecting to see those new Macs. We're expecting to maybe see a new version of the AirPods because that has not been released yet, and there is speculation that we would see these before the holiday season. However, it's also not unlike Apple to release a couple small products via a press release in a week or two from now. And they sometimes do that so they don't share the spotlight with too many things. They don't want us to consume too much, Dave. Our brains are small.
Well, they know they can also get their headlines when they release the AirPod press release in 2 weeks, right? They know that whatever they do, they're going to get a release. They're going to get a headlines. People are going to talk about it. So why release a million things at once when you can give people a trickle instead of a flow? Mark, you mentioned a couple of different products there, and to say that the Apple universe is vast would actually be something of an understatement. Would you say computers and Macs are still the main focus of Apple?
Probably not, Dave, to be perfectly honest, because if you look at the revenue, okay, and you look at across the board of this company, whether it be iPhones, the music side of things, the software, the Apple TV, iPhones are still number one in terms of the revenue-making machine for Apple. They, you know, the iPod transitioned out into the iPhone, and that is absolutely the big money maker. Second to that, it's not hardware. It's software. It's all the iCloud, all the Apple Music, all the Apple Fitness, and everything else that comes along for the ride. So I think when you look at this company, you almost have to look at it in different silos and different almost companies within a company, which is why, you know, the government and a lot of people speculate that these companies should be broken up, because you look at it, you know, they have got their iPhone and their mobile business, they've got their software business, and then they've got this computer business. And they all really are separate different companies within this giant umbrella that is Apple. That being said, no other companies out there work so harmoniously together like this. You know, when you look at how well integrated the iPhone is to, you know, the music and the services and then into the hardware and the software lineup of things, it really is quite a symbiotic relationship. You can't say the same for the PC world. They're trying. They're trying hard. Windows is trying hard on the, with Android apps and making sure things are cross-compatible and you can use your Android phone on a Windows machine and even use, you know, iCloud services on a Windows machine. But unless you're under the same roof, unless you're sharing the same secrets and the design and the teams, it's going to be impossible for you to ever meet those kind of expectations. So this is an interesting beast, but mobile is definitely still high atop that list of what keeps that company afloat.
Yeah, I think that speaks to just the place where computers fit into our lives now. Yes, we still use computers on the regular. Certainly for work, the computer is something I use a lot. But I would say the majority of the day-to-day operations of my world in the digital space is on my phone. So it stands to reason that the focus would be there. And certainly I am not the center of the universe, despite the fact that I live in the greater Toronto area, which implies that that is indeed the center of the universe. But it does speak to the way in which people are using their phones way more in the digital space than probably any other device.
And think about this for a second. Think about the fact that the processor in that phone, okay, whatever that phone might be, let's focus on Apple for a second. Here, the processor in those Apple phones are equal, if not greater, than the processors in the Macs that were released a year ago. So that phone is so underused for the power that is at its disposal that we've just scraped the surface of what that phone can do. To think that we might live in a world where that phone might be the central computing device, you go home, you just plug it into a TV, even if you have to plug it in, or you just pop up your keyboard and your mouse and you get a much larger experience off the same piece of hardware, is not something that is, this is totally expected.
Yeah.
We're going to see this. You know, we're seeing companies, especially Samsung, are making inroads with their DeX product, where you just plug it in and suddenly you have this giant desktop experience.
Yeah.
So this is not... this is not down the road in 10 years from now. This is 2-3 years from now. And we're seeing this with the evolution of the iPad and the iPad taking on a new form in terms of the operating system. And we're seeing this and we're going to see this on the Windows side of things with, for example, their Surface Duo, which is that dual screen device that has about 8 inches across the board. We want to compute with these one devices. We don't want multiple things. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of infrastructure. That's a lot of stuff for us to remember. So if we can do that all on that one device, I think we're going to win across the board. And that's at the end of the day, Dave, consumers are the ones that win no matter what happens here. We get the benefit of all the competition that goes on, all the arguing in the courts. We win at the end of the day, which is the fun part.
Mark, if people want to tune into this Apple Unleashed event today, is there a way for them to do so?
Yeah, on any Apple device or any other device, just go to apple.com. It starts at 1 p.m. Eastern. They're pretty polished keynotes. I wouldn't expect it to go longer than about 40 minutes. This one, I'm not 100% sure if it's pre-recorded or not. There is speculation that it might be live broadcast from Apple Campus, the first one in over 2 years now because of the pandemic. So it could be interesting, but it might be packaged. I might be completely wrong there.
One of my favorite ones of those of all time was Steve Ballmer releasing, I think it was Windows 8 of Microsoft, and he's out there clapping, yeah. It was awesome. So yeah,
it's so fun to look back the memory lane and watch some of those videos from yesteryear.
This is a mouse. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Mark, what's coming up on Double Tap TV tomorrow night?
Oh, very cool. Very cool episode. We're going to be catching up with Rafi Fisher, who's one of the VPs over at Orcam. Orcam is the creator of a very cool accessory called the My Eye, and we're going to get a preview into the My Eye 2, which is a great device that you can clip onto your glasses to help reading pretty much anything.
Very good. Sounds like an interesting episode. Mark, thank you for making time for us today, and here's hoping for always. A very enthusiastic Apple Unleashed event today.
I will see you there.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.